Hope at the end somebody compares the different versions and writes about the differences between them. You can write a thesis on
it. Less people are coming.
So, manuscript comparisons. Okay, our goal is the topic that we're aiming at is to discuss Hashgacha Pratit, Divine Providence. In order to discuss Divine Providence, well, the question is, what is the principle? What is the guiding principle to explain Divine Providence? We have to explain certain things in advance. Namely, what is the technical metaphysical relationship between God and the world, and then we'll understand how God operates in the world. So today we're not going to get to Hashgacha Pratit. We're working our way upward in that direction. And today we're going to talk about the relationship of nature to God. By nature, I mean in the modern sense, the laws of nature to God. A couple of weeks ago, a long time ago, 2 months ago, we used the bald fact, without explaining the nature of the relationship, as one of the proofs of God. We spoke about the Rambam's kind of proof, the cosmological kind of proof. So we spoke about who is responsible for the laws of nature, who is responsible for nature as a system. But today we're going to speak about how they interact exactly. I want to talk about the Ramban. In order to talk about the Ramban, I'll give a short introduction about the Rambam as a foil, as a background. The Rambam, for very specific reasons, which we're not going to discuss, we'll just mention it. For very specific reasons, the Rambam defines laws of nature as Chochmato Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That sounds like a very Jewish religious kind of thing to do. No, it's not. It's a very Greek kind of thing to do. The laws of nature in the ancient world, till the 17th century, till fairly recently, were understood philosophically to be logical. They reflected wisdom. They reflected what should be, or according to Aristotle, what had to be. As opposed to modern philosophy of science, where the laws of nature are merely what is, but there's no logic to it. There's no reason why two masses should attract each other. Could have been the other way around, but this is the way it is. There's a basic problem in modern philosophy of science, and that it doesn't actually make any sense. But that's okay, that's the point. It doesn't make any sense. Because if things are merely, it's really the way it is, there is no particular reason to assume that what we discover in this room about the laws of nature will be true in the next room. But obviously, the yisod ha-yisodot of science is that the laws of nature are uniform. If the laws of nature were, as Aristotle understood, they were logical, then of course they're uniform. They're what has to be. But if the laws of nature merely is what is, it just happens to be that bodies attract each other, then maybe on Mars bodies repel each other. But science can't operate that way. And therefore, there's an unwritten, well, it's written, there's an unproven, unprovable axiom of science which says that the laws of nature are universal. That's how you're able to make predictions about what took place 1,000 years ago, because the laws of nature haven't changed in the last 1,000 years. You can make predictions what will take place on Mars, what will take place on the Moon. The laws of nature have to be uniform. That's the price you pay for having been born in the 20th century. Had you been born in the 15th century, the world would make a lot more sense. Of course, you wouldn't have known anything about the world, but whatever the little you knew would have made a lot more sense. So the Rambam defines the laws of nature as being chokhmato, when he talks religiously, as opposed to philosophically, chokhmato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in contradistinction to Aristotle, who thinks that's the nature of things. The Rambam says God imposed it on the world, because Rambam wants to defend Bria Yesh Me'ayin. So God says, Rambam says, God saw what was wise, what was chokhmah, and he commanded the world to operate that manner. But the end result is very similar. The difference is that, according to Rambam, there can be miracles, because since God imposed the rules of nature on the world, he could also suspend them, which according to Aristotle, it's impossible. But when we're not dealing in miracles, then the fact is that there is a logic to gravity. There's a logic to the laws of combustion. There's a logic to the laws of thermodynamics. And that's the way it has to be, or that's the way it should be. Just to point out a small point, to make it clear what the Rambam means by this, there's a very famous Rambam who says, Vayosha Vayam Le'etano, that after the Kriyat Yamsuf, So the waters will go back to being the way they were beforehand, because that's the way it has to be. It's not, it could be this way, it could be that way. It's against, the way we understood it, very famous Mamar Chazal, Misha Amar, Lashemen Lidalek, Yomar Lamayim Lidalek. That seems to be saying they had no Shemen left. It beat Hanukkah. They didn't have a little bit of Shemen left, they had no Shemen left. So Rav Chanina ben Tradion, I think, said, no problem, Misha Amar Lashemen Lidalek, Yomar Lamayim Lidalek. And he clapped his hands twice and the water caught fire. That seems to say that there's no difference. No. Oil burns, water burns, air burns. It just happens to be that usually oil burns. So the Rambam says it's not true. Oil burns because that's the true, logical, chokhmadik nature of oil to burn. Of course, God could make water burn, but by doing so, he's cheating. If there's a real need, he'll do it, but it shouldn't be that way. And therefore, all miracles are temporary in the Rambam. It's crucial. Miracles are temporary because if we lived in a world of constant miracles, we'd be living in a world of lo chokhmah. We'd be living in a world where God is acting, not with wisdom, which is an insult to God. So the world could be in that way, but it, since God is in control of the world and God is wise, God is chacham, therefore the world reflects the wisdom of God. But the laws of nature are a reflection of the wisdom of God. Bottom line, this explains the Rambam's positive attitude towards learning science. Because when you learn about science, you're learning not about science. You're learning about Chochmato Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how God thought things should be run. And God thought that way because he was wise, not because he just happened to have chosen left as opposed to right. All modern philosophy of science, I'm going to say modern science as well, but modern philosophy of science is based on the opposite assumption. There's no logic to it. You have to study it and summarize it, and that's the way it is. But we have no investment in one theory over another, it's simply whether it works or not. There's nothing more correct logically about one explanation as opposed to another. Yes.
If the laws of science, the laws of nature are logical and shadowed by definition logical, then how can you just stand it for miracles?
No, so that's the Rambam's connection. First of all, what you just said is Aristotle. So you shouldn't necessarily be embarrassed by that. I'm going to say that you're an idiot. You're not. You're Greek. Which is, you know, it would be more honorable if it wasn't Chodesh Kislev. The Greeks weren't stupid in Hanukkah, they just lost, you know. It's okay. What you just said is Aristotle. Since it's if it's logical, then it's truth, and if it's truth, it cannot be. It can't be false. The Rambam has a knature to basically to be Aristotelian but still accept Yesh Meayin. And he says that pure matter doesn't have to follow the laws of logic. That doesn't mean that they can do the impossible. Something cannot be true and not true at the same time. That doesn't God have to impose on it. But the logic of the laws of nature is that this is the way it should be, so it requires a will to impose it. But it's true that a wise person acts wisely. In other words, to say that God is wise, but when he arranged the world, he just threw dice, would be saying that he's not carrying out his wisdom in the world. But it requires an act of will, divine will, to tell matter, to tell the earth, to obey the rules, to obey the wisdom. It's a fine point, which, I mean, when I say that Aristotle didn't say it, Aristotle would be cholek. He really thought it was wrong. That's one of the Rambam's chidushim. One of the serious Rambam chidushim. So therefore God could perform a miracle, but he won't. The reason, we all know that the Rambam tried to minimize the number of miracles without getting rid of them altogether. It seems like sort of silly. If you want to be a modern, not too frum Jew, so you say there are no miracles. If you want to be a frum Jew, say there are a lot of miracles. Rambam says miracles are possible, but they're very rare. And whenever he has a chance to talk the Torah out of one, he'll do it. The reason is because every miracle is exceptional because it rules the system. The God made the world b'chokhmah. But, you know, there were times that the Jews were stuck at the edge of the sea, and God likes them a lot. So he says, okay, I'll do a stupid thing, but I'll get you across. Okay, so it's not respectable to do it. He used his power rather than his wisdom. It's better if he didn't need to do it. So miracles, what I mentioned before, are temporary. Two, they are in fact rare. If we can get along without them, we will get along without them. As opposed to the Ramban I'm going to read in a few seconds, where the Ramban never missed an opportunity to make up a miracle. The Rambam never missed an opportunity to wipe one out. The laws of nature are a reflection of God, of God's wisdom. Miracles are a reflection of God's will, of God's power. The Rambam prefers the first over the second, for reasons which will not become apparent today, but Mitzvah will become apparent perhaps next week. Okay, so therefore, in terms of the regular ordering of things according to the Rambam, God created the world 6,000 years ago. He created B'chachma, he put in the best rules, the wisest rules that could be possibly be done. No rule can be perfect, because it's a rule. So therefore there will occasionally be problems which he will then perhaps fix by a miracle. But basically, 99% of the time, the world runs according to those rules because they're the best rules that there could be. And it doesn't require intervention, or it shouldn't require intervention too often. To mention a knetch on a mashal I gave 5 or 6 weeks ago, we talked about the watch in the desert. I shouldn't say the watch in the desert. We talked about the round object in the desert that had hands that moved around and pointed up to the sky at 12 o'clock. So if you had a watchmaker who was wise, and he invented watches, he invented a new way of making a watch. One of the things he did for his watch was that every day you had to come to him so that he would wind you don't know what I mean when I say wind, do you? Does anybody here know what it means to wind the watch?
Heard of it.
Thank God. Every day, in order to get the watch to work another day, you had to go to the watchmaker. He took out his special tool and he flicked it inside. He put the pieces which had fallen apart during the day back together again and worked another day. And frankly, this worked for years and years and years. You would say, you know, mashu chaser kan. God did a better job than that. He made a watch. It's a self-winding watch. Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
No. You've seen a self-winding watch?
The watch that moves with the motion of your hand, and it creates its own momentum.
Oh, you're British. That explains it. God made a watch. You never have to wind it. It's perpetual motion. Isn't that more wise? So that's the way the world should be. And therefore, we don't expect rules to take place. The world has laws of nature. They're on a very high level. They're not God, but they reflection of the wisdom of God, of true wisdom. Okay, that's what I'm. Now I want to read the Ramban. The Ramban is found two or three places. The one I'm reading is the most famous and the longest in the Pirush al HaTorah. It's the end of Bo, the last Ramban on Bo. It begins on the Totafot Bein Einecha. Ramban in the beginning is explaining the meaning of Zikaron, why there are some mitzvot which are Zikaron. But eventually he gets to our point. I'm skipping the first part. I'm reading only the last part. The Ramban says the following. We have the many mitzvot which are Zecher Yitziat Mitzrayim. The Ramban says Zecher Yitziat Mitzrayim means a remembrance that God did great miracles. Yitziat Mitzrayim for the Ramban, at least in this section, doesn't mean you should remember that you achieved freedom, but you should remember the way you achieved freedom. Remember that God was able to Esamakot, Kriyat Yamsuf, etc. That's why we have Tefillin, Tzitzis, Mezuzah, Kamen Pesach, and a dozen other mitzvot. Okay, and then he says, now that I've explained to you, that's the reason. You ask me, but why is that important? Why do we care? Why do we have to remember the fact that God did great miracles? He says the following statement. This statement is so famous that a few years ago I was coming back by car from Bar Ilan University where I gave a shiur late at night, and I needed to needed to stay awake. So I was fiddling through the pirate radio stations in Israel, and I came across one where someone had put the following words to a song. I believe it's the most metaphysical song ever written. It's really hard to imagine. It wasn't a bad song either. It didn't take off though. I haven't heard it since. Says the Ramban the following. Umin hanisim hagedolim hamafursamim adam modeh benisim hanistarim shehem yisod haTorah kula. The reason why we need to remember the famous, the great, nisim hagedolim hamafursamim. The mafursamim means not just famous. We're reading about anyhow. It means public. The very publicized great miracles, their importance is because from them one comes to admit, to confess to the nisim hanistarim, the hidden miracles, shehem yisod haTorah kula. And now the crucial line, she'ein la'adam chelek b'torat Moshe Rabbeinu. Ramban doesn't tend to speak in such categorical terms usually. This is a very extreme statement. If you don't believe what I'm about to say, you have no chelek b'torat Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm stressing that because the Rambam doesn't accept what the Rambam is about to say. And the Rambam basically liked the Rambam, but not about this line. She'ein l'adam chedek b'torat Moshe Rabbeinu ad she'namin b'chol devareinu u'mikreinu she'kulam nisim ein bahem teva u'minhago shel olam bein berabim bein biyachid. It's a requirement of anyone who has a chedek in Torat Moshe that he should believe that in all our occurrences and things and everything that happens to us, they are all miracle. There is no teva. To be careful of the word teva, that we use the word teva in a modern sense. I'm not sure the Rambam meant it in the same way. The word nature is a philosophical word that was translated into Hebrew. But he more or less explains, umin hagol shel olam. There's nothing normal, natural, or rule-based about them, law-based. Bein berabim, bein biyachid. Rambam is explicitly saying, don't come to me and say, well, okay, you know, Am Yisrael lives on a higher level. There is a theory like this. You know, the history of Am Yisrael, we learn Jewish history, one of the things which everyone is taught in Jewish high schools is that Jewish history is a story of miracles. But the individual Jew was Ein Somchim Al HaNes. Rambam says, Bein berabim, bein biyachid. Ein bahem teva uminagol shel olam kulam nisim. Ela, im yaseh mitzvot yatzlichenu scharo, ve'im yavor aleihem yachvitenu onsho. Hakol b'gzerat elyon, kasher hizkar tikvah. The only rule which explains what takes place is not laws of thermodynamics, it's not the laws of atomic physics, it's not the law of quantum physics. The only rule is, im יעשה המצוות יצליחנו שכרו ואם יעבור עליהם יחריתנו עונשו. If you do mitzvot, it'll be good, and if you do avirot, it'll be bad. That's the only law of nature, which is not a law of nature, it's a law of nisim. In other words, it's direct, it's not a law, it's God responding to whether or not you've pleased him or displeased him. Hakol b'gezeirat elyon kasher hizkar tikvah. Rambam here invented, the terms Rambam uses here are the Rambam's inventions. Nisim gluyim and nisim nistarim. That's Rambam's contribution to the Hebrew language. There are public miracles and there are hidden miracles. Hidden miracles is everything. The electricity is working in this room, that's a hidden miracle. That's almost a public miracle. The sun is shining. Give me something. The earth is still turning. That's a miracle. If you light a match and it burns a piece of paper, the man says that's a miracle. And there's no difference between Kriyat Yamsuf and striking a match. Or to say someone more striking, there's no difference between Kriyat Yamsuf and E-Kriyat Yamsuf. There's no difference between the water standing and the waters lying down. Hakol b'gzeirat elyon. This is literally the Gemara I quoted before. And Mishamal Hashem lidalek, Yomal Amayim lidalek. There's no difference. They both require an active intervention of God to convince the water or the oil to catch fire. God happens to do it this way for reasons that He knows. But they're not reasons which can be discovered by our logic, nor should they be. They're all, the only thing which really matters is that im yaseh mitzvot as yaslichenu scharo. I have to admit, this Ramban, if you want to know, if we were studying the Ramban now, which we're not, we were interested in Rabbeinu HaGadol, so we would have to check other Rambans as well. And there is a Ramban which not that many people know about. I'm not going to discover it, but it's found in a strange place for people who know Ramban. It's Perush Ramban on Iyov, in Perek Lamed Vav. There's a Ramban there who says something which sounds very Rambamdik. In fact, all Rishonim say it. And then he says that the bigger tzaddik you are, the more hashkach you have. Most people are... live in nature. The exact opposite of what he says here. So, the Rambam's total balanced view needs to be balanced. But that's not our problem. We're not here to understand the Rambam. We're here to understand this line. Because Rambam obviously thought that this is the line that he wants everyone to know, given the introduction. She'ein la'adam chedek b'torat Moshe. And also he says, this is Tamei HaMitzvot. The reason why you put on tefillin is that you should get to this point. You put on tefillin so you should remember that God took us out of Mitzrayim. And then you'll say, wow, if God took us out of Mitzrayim, then God is also making the rain come down now. That's Ramban's point. Second point is that, in all honesty, the Ramban is not speaking metaphysics here. I'm going to compare the Ramban to the Rambam, and it's a little bit unfair. The Rambam is speaking metaphysics, the Ramban is speaking religion. He's not saying that there are no laws of nature. He's saying that we, Jews, do not live in nature. There are other Rishon who say there is no law of nature, and I could have quoted them, but they're not as famous as the Ramban. So I didn't want to ruin my case. The Ramban is not saying there are no laws of nature. He's saying a person has a chedek in Torat Moshe if he declares, if he believes that whatever happens to him is not a law of nature. The Ramban's not interested in how does it really work. He brought us another place. The Ramban assumes that, you know, philosophy works. God created the world and told things what to do, and that's what they do. But as a Obed Hashem, you're not living in that system. Could very well be that Goyim live in that system and not Jews. It could be that Tzaddikim, not Tzaddikim, but your chedek as a chedek b'tot Moshe Rabbeinu is to not to view the world that way. It could be that he's referring to the Medrash about Avraham Avinu. It says Vayotzei Oto Achutza. The Medrash says, Rashi brings it, that God took him and said, and told him to look at the stars. So the Medrash says that he wasn't above the stars. Understand that in ancient philosophy, the stars were in a fixed sphere, so you could be beyond the stars. He wasn't above the stars, and he looked down at the stars, and the idea is, Ein Mazal Yisrael. He's telling him that the stars, which represents for Chazal and the medieval philosophers, represent science. Astrology is science. So everything, the stars really work. They really do run the world, but not for you. You're taken out by the Brit. It's right before Brit Ben Abtavim, is Ve'otzei Oto Achutza. Could be that's what he means, the Jews are taken out, or it could be, this would be a little more, it's almost postmodern, could be the man is saying that the truth is, nature does work, but you're not supposed to believe it. In other words, you have to affirm the opposite, whether or not it's true or not. That sounds, doesn't sound to me like the Ramban, but it could be. But anyway, the bottom line is, that when you get up in the morning, and you get out of bed, and you stub your toe, You don't blame the dresser. You blame the Lashon Hara you spoke before you went to sleep. And if you go downstairs and the food tastes good, you don't thank, or you don't write at this moment, you don't thank the farmer, or you don't thank carbohydrates, or you don't say good sugar. You say, wow, you see, when you learn a little Torah, you have a good breakfast in the morning. That's what the man is saying. The food doesn't come from the ground. It comes from mitzvahs. Rain doesn't come from the heavens. It comes from mitzvahs. And hurricanes don't come from global warming. They come from aveiros. That's what the man is saying. Now, I know we've all had a terrible time with statements like that. Now, the last 10 years, anytime somebody says something like that, he gets wrapped left and right in the newspapers and on the radio and everything else. If you say that the last time was Katerina, if you say that a hurricane in New Orleans was because people in New Orleans were not sneer-stick, so you get wiped fucking vis from left to right. There's the problem is whether you say that other people do aveiros. But let's talk about your own aveiros. But the theory that is based on is Ramban's theory. Yes, hurricanes do not come because of hydrocarbons being released by refrigerators or by cars. Hurricanes come from sin, and nice rain comes from mitzvot, and that's what you're supposed to believe. Whether it's true or not doesn't make a difference. That's what you're supposed to believe. That's the yisod of. It's a very extreme term. That is the yisod of Ein Chedek L'Tumat Moshe Ad Shenamin. That's the yisod of Kol Ha'Akula. Okay, now. This is not what the Rambam says. The Rambam says is that nature really works. And that's a good thing. Because God gave us a system in which to work. God could change it. But normally, this is the system that works. And therefore, if you want to know why it rains, the answer is it rains because of the heat of the sun on the oceans caused evaporation, and then it met the cold air over the mountains, and therefore the rain came down. That's the right answer according to the Rambam. And according to the Rambam, that's not an interesting answer. It's not a relevant answer. It's not the real answer. The real answer is, it rains because you davened. To give an example. Yeah.
According to the Ramban, who says that every single reaction that occurs in the world is a mini miraculous event. When we interact with the world, when we cause certain things to happen, wouldn't that be that we're telling God which miracle to perform at which time?
Okay.
So isn't that an issue? That we're sort of dictating what God
sounds does? Good to me. Sounds wonderful. Now, isn't that nice? I understand the question. I'll get back to it in a second, more or less. I'll try to get back to it. Yeah.
So what exactly happens according to the Ramban? It's like when no one sees suddenly like the laws of nature.
All right. So I know that's a simple question. How it works? The Ramban doesn't say any more than he says here. I'll make a few comments on how it works to make it a little bit less. Not less religiously slacking, but a little bit less ridiculous in terms of the way we operate. Obviously, the Ramban doesn't think that if you want to set fire to a piece of paper, then it doesn't make a difference what you do. The Rambam, when he wanted to light up his pipe, he used matches. Of course he didn't. He didn't have a pipe or matches. When Ramban wanted to light a fire in his earth, so he used coal. He didn't clap his hands. And the reason was because the first one works, the second one doesn't. So what he must have meant, I'll explain in a second, which will sort of hopefully make all these things clear. Nor does the Rambam think that God's not involved. The Rambam got up in the morning and he thanked God for When it rained, the Rambam opened up the Gemara in Tainis and said, "Modim anachnu lecha kol tipa v'tipa." So the difference is not as striking as it might appear in first glance, and I'll explain in a second why after I hear a few more questions. Yeah.
According to the Ramban, to use your example, if a Jew stubs his toe on the dresser when he wakes up, that's an intervention. That's a divine intervention.
Everything is an intervention, right?
But that's only with regard to Jews.
I think so.
So when a non-Jew stubs his toe, he need not say that's because of my sins. It's just purely because that's a natural
occurrence. I think so. I'm not 100% sure, but the words begin, "U'she'en l'adam chelik b'tovat Moshe Rabbeinu," and I know the Ramban is not opposed to. And the Ramban understood that science exists. He was saying that that's not how we operate. So I think he doesn't say Jews here, but I think that's what he means. That's very likely, in my opinion. But I wouldn't say the man says it. He doesn't actually say that, but I think that's what he meant. Yeah.
I don't think it's so crazy to say that Ramban, not Maimonides, is more in line with modern thought than Rambam's. I mean, according to modern science, modern philosophy, you know, all perceptions are created equal. Like, it doesn't matter that you perceive the sea splitting or you perceive the sea flat. It's all, if it happened, then it's, by definition, it's natural. And therefore, there is no sense in categorizing the fact that it's split as a miracle, and then the fact that it's just going its regular course as not a miracle, and therefore, whereas Rambam takes there to be like these like, you can't violate these laws of the universe that are essential and must be there. We said at the beginning of this year that we know that's not really true. That's not how science views things. So I
don't think that's true. I'll explain why. I mentioned, I had a reason. I haven't gotten to the reason yet. I mentioned that according to the Rambam, laws of nature are logical, are chokmah, and which is different than modern science, not in order to distinguish him from the Rambam. I did in order to explain, which I'll explain eventually, why it's a good thing. That was why the Rambam thinks that there's a religious reason. There's a Yiddishkeit reason to say that, because offhand, when you read the Ramban, you read the Rambam, so the Rambam is being, so to speak, scientific, and the Ramban is being firm. Now, the Rambam had a firm reason for saying what he's saying, and that's because he had a certain Greek conception, which you can no longer say in the modern world. But I wasn't trying to imply what you said, I think is not true. In other words, science today is not less rigid than it was according to the Rambam. The fact that this is the way things are for no particular reason doesn't mean that this isn't the way things are. On the contrary, as very often happens with great faith, scientists need a greater degree of faith to be scientists today than needed according to the Rambam, and therefore they're taka more kana'i in their beliefs. For the Rambam, Rambam met a miracle, he would say, okay, you know, it's only logical that it should be this way, so therefore God can act illogically. When a modern scientist meets a miracle, he says it didn't take place, because it's just the way things are. There's no reason why things are that way, which makes it even more true. Point made by John Locke, when I say modern, I don't necessarily mean 21st century. 17th century, Locke pointed out that in the way we understand the world, being more advanced people, who've learned a lot of science, we will never, ever meet a case of a miracle. In other words, in the ancient world, people walked in the street, and all of a sudden they heard a voice, and they believed in God, because voices don't come out of don't come out of nowhere. Whereas today, if you walked in the street and you heard a voice, you would say, there must be a speaker in the tree. If you cut the tree down and didn't find the speaker, you'd say, there must be a different kind of a trick. And if you couldn't find anything, you'd say, okay, I didn't find it, but there's got to be a voice somewhere. It's not coming from nowhere. As we take science even more seriously now than ever. Well, I pointed out there's no way, no series of events would be accepted today as a miracle, which, by the way, is true for most people in the room. You automatically, even though you're all very firm people and you believe in miracles, so to speak, but if you read in the paper that somebody went to a fish store in Muncie and bought a fish to make a filter fish, and the fish talked, and you can see this on YouTube if you want. I wouldn't quote the story if it wasn't true, more or less. I mean, the story is true, not the explanation. Everybody in the room says that didn't happen. It was either a mechanical fish, a crazy man, a small MP3 device, I don't think they invented them yet, inside the fish, or stam, someone's pulling a leg on YouTube. And the whole Jewish community of Muncie spent a very interesting Shabbos that Shabbos. This is a true story, by the way. We don't ever assume that a miracle took place. If I told you that, if you saw it yourselves, if I would clap my hands now, and on the desk would appear a Sefer Torah, you would be shocked and surprised, but none of you would think that I've just turned into your Chassidish Rebbe. You'd figure, I'm kind of a guy, I had it underneath the table. Just like if I pulled a rabbit out of a hat, nobody here would get all that excited about what's taking place. We have an automatic, instinctual prejudice against miracles, even though we believe in miracles, because everything we've learned since pre-nursery school is that there's an explanation for everything, and therefore it'll either be the way we expect it. If it's not the way we expect it, it's because we missed something. Or, so we'll change the laws of nature if we have to. Yeah, every now and then science actually does revolutionize its thought, if you push them hard enough. But that just means that you revise the laws. You don't say that today there was an exception to the law. The laws of nature as we understand them today never have exceptions. Not because it's illogical, it's just impossible. That's like a canon. It's something which, if a scientist would admit that there are miracles, he couldn't be a scientist ever again. I'm not saying lying from scientists, but they can't do it in the same piece of head. If occasionally things don't obey the laws of nature, then you can't ever. That is not a law. The word law means law. Otherwise, we wouldn't be using the terms laws of nature anymore. Okay, now back to the Ramban. Just explain the Ramban a little bit. The Ramban obviously is not saying that everything is haphazard. That would be insane. The Ramban is saying that in fact, God, you know, does do things the same way most of the time. The sun always rises, to the best of my knowledge, surely 99.9% of the times, every time that I've ever checked, the sun does rise in the east and settle in the west. The Rambam says the sun rises in the east and settles in the west because that's the way it should be. And God, so to speak, I'm not asking a question now because we already answered it in morality, same thing here. God is subject. God has accepted upon himself to follow the laws of nature. Avis Kasha, how could the laws of nature, the laws of wisdom, tell God what to do? The answer is the same answer I gave about the Akedah. Hu v'chokhmato echad. He's not kafuf, he's not subject to the laws of wisdom. He is wisdom, so it's no big deal. He's fulfilling himself. But to go back to the phase, yes, the law exists, the wisdom exists, and that's why God does it. And according to Ramban, that's not the reason. It could very well be that it was a haphazard choice. What is important, one has to agree, is that God makes the same choices every day, most of the time. In other words, consistency is a good thing. And it's easy for me to explain why. I don't know whether Ramban explains it, but I'm almost certain Ramban would agree with my explanation. Why does God consistently make the sun rise in the east and not one day in the east, one day in the west? In order for us to operate, we have to have expectations. Our expectations are not based on wisdom, they're based on seeing what God does. The fact is that God always, in this sense, Ramban is closer to the modern conception. It's a fact that God does it this way. Science would say, that's the way it is. The religious person would say, that's the way God does it. And given that, you have expectations so that in the morning, I know it's going to be light. Otherwise, we couldn't do anything. It would be meaningless to be a human being. You couldn't make moral choices. You couldn't build a house. You couldn't do anything good. You couldn't give money to a poor person because you don't know if the money will ever get to them. You give him money, but maybe it will disappear. We have expectations that if you put a piece of metal over here, it stays there until he goes and spends it. You couldn't do anything with significance unless you knew there were rules. If I have to go from point A to point B, so I take a car because I know that the combustion engine works. Why does the combustion engine work? You should know that it's a miracle. And that's why, what I believe for many, many years, I'm going to try to change a little bit. For most of my life, I thought the difference between the Ramban and the Rambam is almost, there's a real difference here in metaphysical terms, but in terms of religious terms, it's an emotional difference. Everything that the Ramban says can be translated into Rambamitic terms. In other words, it's true that according to Ramban, when it rains, wow, God gave us water. But according to the Rambam, when it rains, it's God made a world that gives water. You have to thank God, according to the Rambam, because the reason why it rains is because God arranged in his goodness and wisdom and wonderfulness, he arranged the world in which it rains. And that doesn't require you less to say hodayah, to say thank you to God. But what's the difference? The difference is the immediacy. And this, I think, I still think this is 80% of the difference. Immediacy. The difference is, where is God found? It is true that the God of the Rambam is taking a step back. He built a wonderful world, put you in it, made a gan, v'yasem et ha'adam b'toch ha'gan, and then he steps back. Every now and then, you mess up, or the world messes up, he goes and he fixes something. Very rarely. But he's not present in a presence, in the sense of, I'm in God's hands. I'm in the hands of that which God has created. In terms of obligations, in terms of hakarat hatov, thanking God, even prayer, etc., it makes no difference. You don't have to thank someone who's holding me does not need to be thanked more than someone who has built a machine which holds me. And frankly, I think the Rabbi might say even less. Because, you know, he invested more of his wisdom in the great machine than I have no time for that, so whenever you need a problem, I'll pick you up. That's what Rambam would say. But there's a difference in our recognition, our awareness of our relationship to God. The Ramban is interested, I'm sure he's interested in, that the Jewish emotional state should be of being in the hands of God. You're like, to even more extreme than he says it, you're perched over an abyss, and God is holding you up. If you let go, you're lost. That doesn't have to thank God more for that. But it's the feeling of the immediacy, Milashon immediate, those who don't recognize the word, the fact that God is, there's no mediation, the opposite of immediate, there's no mediation between me and God. The Rambam is interested dafka. He wants there to be something between man and God. You say, why? What's the great religious advantage of saying that God is not in the room with me, holding up the table, moving my lips, putting the oxygen into my lungs? What does the Rambam gain for that? The answer is very simple, and this really is a major question. The more God is actively involved in my life, so the less room there is for me to be actively responsible for my life. By building the model that the Rambam builds, God creates a world, puts in laws, wonderful things. He makes a lot of creatures, he builds. God makes food, God makes rain, God makes the world, God makes mountains, and then, this is exactly what the Pasuk describes, he first makes Gan Eden, which is a wonderful world, and what's he doing? Now he says, okay, you now, it's up to you. You build, you mess it up, it's your responsibility. If I mess up the world, it's my responsibility. If I do something good, that's my responsibility. You get the feeling, I don't think the Ramban necessarily would agree, I'm trying to explain why the Ramban said what he said. The Ramban would say about the Ramban, in your world, in God's world, where you define it, so there's much less, perhaps none, significance to your choices, because in the end, im yaseh mitzvot, yaslichenu scharo. At least according to the theory, if you're a good person, but you don't, it means you do mitzvot, but you don't pay attention to where you're walking, you won't walk into a pole anyhow. If you didn't pay attention to the fact that the bridge was missing, you won't fall anyhow, because only aveirot make you fall, and mitzvot keep you up in the air. There's almost no significance, there's no mashmut to making, including moral choices. If, for instance, a question which I think all these people have to ask themselves, if I give money to a poor person, does that in fact help him? Well, let's take the opposite, it's more dramatic. Someone is drowning in the lake. Mitzvah Torah, lo ta'amod al dam reyecha. Why not make the following cheshbon? If the guy's supposed to die, he'll die anyhow. If he's supposed to be saved, he'll be saved anyhow. Does it make a difference if I jump in or I don't jump in? You can't save a man who God said should die. You can't kill a guy who God said should live. And God is saying all the time, God is judging him on his mitzvah and his avelot. So, it doesn't make a difference what I do. The Rambam has an answer to that, but the Rambam is interested in, really, yes, in moving God out of the picture to some extent, he's hovering in the background, watching to make sure things don't get too messed up. But in order for us to have a chance, it's like a teacher who gives you a job to do. If he's holding your hand and just waiting for you to move a little bit and then helps you out, so you don't actually do anything. A good teacher leaves you in the room, says, "I'll come back tomorrow." Goes back tomorrow, you set fire to the classroom, so he'll work it out. He'll give you a punishment and build a new one. You made a nice room, you did something right, you solved, you put the computer back together, you get a check. That's the Rambam's vision. The Ramban is interested in God's presence. Ramban is more firm in the usual sense of the word firm here. God, Ramban wants that the toda'ah, the awareness of a religious person is that he's facing God all the time. He burns with this connection. The Ramban wants it to be cool. He doesn't want you to be set on fire because God is speaking to you right now. He wants God to have given you once a certain mandate, created a world, and then left you to do something meaningful in humanistic terms with the world that he gave you. And all the time recognizing that, of course, everything I can do here is because God gave me the tools, God gave me the environment, God gave me the wisdom, God, everything was from God, so I thank God for everything. But right now, I'm the one who's actually using it. The problem that the Rambam, in my opinion, identifies in the Ramban, actually was explicit later on in Rav Chasda Kreskas, who is a more extreme version of the Ramban. To be perfectly honest, he thinks metaphysics doesn't really exist at all, and he had problems with Bechira Chashis for that reason. Since God is everything that happens is God's direct doing, Rav Chasda had a very great difficulty explaining, so what does it mean that I have a choice? I have a choice to do what? In the end, God does it all. So where's the room for me to actually operate in a free manner? The Ramban didn't perceive that he had that problem, and the reason is, as we said before, because it's not true that God is sitting there deciding each and every time. Among other things, God has an investment in constancy. The truth is, if you shoot a gun at a tzaddik, there is a chance he'll die anyhow. The pasuk says, "Lo ra'iti tzaddik ne'ezav b'zav v'akesh lachem." The Ramban said here, "Im yo'avor aleihem yachvitenu ansho," but that's a slogan. When you get down to the reality of it, so God has an interest in not upsetting the rules too much. And therefore, without any logic to the rules, nonetheless, God has a commitment to consistency. So that if you shoot enough tzaddikim, some of them are going to die. If you make that choice. So it is more complicated. That's why, and therefore there is room for Bechira Chashis. There has to be. God has to step back, or else you won't be making choices at all. Nonetheless, the Ramban wants us to think. The important thing for the Ramban is how you perceive reality, not how it actually works. What you should perceive is what he said here. Ein behem teva u'minago sholam. You should not say, that's the way things are. You should say it each time, yes, God chose to. If it's raining, it's God spitting on me. And the Rambam doesn't see any particular value in that particular statement. Now, what I mentioned in the beginning, and now I'll explain why I said it, is what is the value for the Rambam? The value for the Rambam is when it rains, you should say, Chochmato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This makes sense, the Rambam. In general, everything in the Rambam comes down in the end to what I understand about God's understanding. Chokhmah v'chokhmah. The relationship to God, according to the Rambam, is relationship of knowledge. So the world is an environment for knowing more about God. To know about God, you can't have miracles. Miracles don't tell you anything about God because they're different each time. There's no rule to them. By having rules, you learn about God's rules, you learn about Chochmato Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is the Ramban interested in? What is the religious connection to God according to the Ramban? We don't relate to God's wisdom, we relate to God's power. If there would be a world without miracles, then we wouldn't have a relationship with God. The Ramban is not interested in seeing God's wisdom, he's interested in feeling God's hand. The fact that I feel God's hands and throat, or supporting me underneath my armpits, that's a relationship with God. Whereas for the Rambam, that's not a relationship with God. The relationship with God is knowing that God is A, B, and C, and D. Okay, so that's why this particular machloket, which sounds like a machloket about physics, is really a machloket about religion. It's a machloket about the veikut. It's a machloket about what does it mean to be connected to God. Connected to God is to know God, or it's to feel God. If you think about it, this sounds like a very highfalutin argument, but the truth is, it's a very, very basic thing. If we all have an instinct, and I don't mean to imply, I actually don't like the Rambam more than the Ramban. I actually like the Ramban more than the Rambam. But you have to be careful with the Ramban. We all have an instinct to, like, we bemoan the fact that there aren't more miracles. We tend to think that there aren't miracles, it's because God's not here. And every now and then you say, you know, if only would God do a few of those tricks he used to do, so the world would be a better place. You know, every now and then he could do one of those, you know, one of those clapping your hands and it raining, you know, Eliyahu Navi Bahava Kamel kind of things, where you make two mizbachot, and you say, let it rain, doesn't rain. Now I say let it rain, it rains. Everybody will be firm, everybody will be Shalom Shabbos. It'll be a wonderful world, and God doesn't do that. And it's his fault. Who said that argument before me? If God doesn't do miracles, then it's his fault that people don't have a relationship with him? I just said who said it before me. It was Eliyahu Navi. The way Chazal understand the pasuk, and it's not a drush. It's one of the two possible pshatim and mash the fi amikra. God, Eliyahu Navi says to God before, while asking him to bring down fire on the mizbeach, he says va'ata haseibota et libam achoranit, which literally the drush of Chazal is the literal explanation. There's another explanation in Rashi because he found it hard to believe he said that. But the explanation is you turn their hearts backward. The reason is if you don't bring fire down from heaven, it's your fault that they don't relate to you. Because you're not here. How can they relate to you? People relate to the guy who does the tricks. People relate to the guy who's banging on the door. If you put bread on their table and they see you put bread on the table, they don't have a relationship with you. If you let the bread come through the rain and the ground and the etc., they're not going to have a relationship with you. They have a relationship with the ground, with the Baal, who more or less lives in the ground. That was Eliyahu Navi's argument. It sounds like a very good argument. We're all very susceptible to it. And the Ramban is very susceptible to it. That's what the Ramban is saying. But the Ramban is saying God is not going to do the tricks. He says, it's not going to happen. God won't do the tricks. But we will develop a perception where we will see the tricks even when he's not doing the tricks. In other words, the rain is the trick. But the psychological tricks, God doesn't do. He did one or two. That's enough. He's not going to do it for everybody. Frankly, the Ramban gives a very simple reason for that. You're not really. God doesn't like doing big tricks for regular people. But he reminded you they did it for your forefathers. That should be enough to keep you in line, because that'll lead you to perceive his hand even in the hidden things. But in terms of our existence, I mean, I think we face this all the time. You know, you go, the guy in the street corner who's trying to convince people to be believers. So he looks for miracles. Hey, or you look on YouTube, those of you who live down south or live in the Middle East, watch one of these. There's a television station, Middle East television. It used to be broadcast out of Lebanon when Lebanon was still a Christian country. Now it's broadcast out of Cyprus. And you get a miracle a day. One miracle a day. You get 10 miracles a day there. That's what they preach. You know, the guy gets up and he testifies. Yesterday I was not able to walk. I prayed to God and now I can walk. Throw away your crutches. Nice. The Rambam says, Gevav, what a terrible thing. What a terrible thing. A person is relating to God being not wise. God doing a shtick. Rather than, he should have, what the person should have done is, he should have gone and had an operation, fixed his leg, and then he would have said, wow, what a wonderful thing it is that God made a world in which you can replace a leg. Instead of that, he clapped his hand twice and the leg grew out of nothing. The Rambam would be very impressed. The man would be very impressed. He'd be surprised. The man thinks that God does no miracles so cheaply. Not for every Tom, Dick and Harry who has a television station. But he would be impressed. He would be impressed. The man's more impressed if a person would say, wow, I don't have a leg. That's a miracle. And he would thank God for that. That's even more impressive. To develop the perception that God is everywhere. And now, the point that we're going to conclude with is the following. The meaning of the word miracle has changed. For the Rambam, a miracle is the upending of the laws of nature, the overturning of Chochmato Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a war between Chochmato Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu and miracles. Miracle is the suspension of Chochmato Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why they're temporary, because it's not right to suspend Chochmato Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu too much. According to the Ramban, miracles aren't a suspension of the laws of nature, they're the true laws of nature. Everything is a miracle. At least you should see it that way. And so they're not suspending anything. The fact that this table is standing here, that's a miracle. That is a miracle too. The meaning of the word, miracles are not measured by how much they contradict something. They're measured by where they come from. Are they God pushing on a button, or God's shliach, God's creation, pushing a button? So the difference between them is actually, that's why it's perceptual. There's no nafkamina in the in the individual area. It's how do you understand where it comes from? Is do you feel God being here? That's the basic difference between the Ramban and the Rambam. When we eventually get to speak about those, what we really defined here is the difference between nature according to the Rambam and nature according to the Ramban. Nature according to the Rambam is Chokhmah Toshel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and nature according to the Ramban is a smokescreen which makes you think that God is not here, and therefore you have to overcome it. You have to see through it. It's a veil. There appears to be nature, but we will cut through it and see what really lies beyond it, which is like in a puppet show where God is behind it and he's pulling the strings, and you think that there are things happening down below, but it's really not true. It's really God pulling the strings all the time. It's important to know what is nature in order to know what is nais, and it's important to know what is nature and what is nais in order to know what we're aiming at is how does Hashkacha Pratit work and what is its purpose. Is Hashkacha Pratit designed to solve my problems, or is Hashkacha Pratit designed to be what Ramban here is describing? It's to inculcate in you a feeling of I am directly connected to God every time I breathe. In every area, left and right, up and down, I'm simply enveloped in the hand of God, and that's the definition of my existence. Okay, so that's what I would love to teach you the song, but I don't remember the niggun. That's the difference between the Ramban. It's a very basic difference in religious outlook. It's not a difference in philosophy. It is a difference in philosophy, but the philosophy is not important. It's a difference in religious outlook. When you get up in the morning, what are you looking for? Are you looking for miracles? Are you looking for signs of God's power? Or are you trying to understand how God's wisdom, God's thought, arranged everything around us? Do we look for order? According to the Rambam, you look for order. Order is a way of finding rules. Order is a sign of God. Or do you look for, I'm going to exaggerate a little bit, according to the Rambam, do you look for disorder? Do you look for exceptional things? Do you look for power which overcomes something? God is found because he overpowers nature, or because he arranged nature. And that's something which affects almost everything we do when we look around. I'm not giving out points, at least not now. Who's a better pshat? Mi yachnis rosho bein shnei havim elo. Nor do you have to. There's no problem saying they're both right. This is Yeshivat HaRetzion. What's the big deal? But emotionally, it's very two different outlooks of what's taking place. And there'll be real nafkaminot when we get to Hashkacha. Then there'll be within a week or two, there'll be very serious nafkaminot. That's it for today.
The Ramban take on morals also be that God created morals, or that morals are right, because morals are right.
We're talking about laws of nature. We're talking about scientific laws. We're talking about nature.
Morals, because they're right.
Yeah, I think so. No, logic is also logic. In other words, Ramban doesn't think that God invented 1 and 1 is 2. He thinks God invented gravity out of a hat. 1 and 1 is 2 is a law of logic. Gravity is something that God does most of the time. But, you know, just because it's a balo, whatever the reason is, it's not important. There's nothing intrinsically right about gravity, and if gravity would work all the time, there wouldn't be a ma'ala. There wouldn't be anything particularly good. When God suspends gravity, that's impressive.
Why should nature using God and logic not using God?
What does everybody think today? Because logic is true and nature is accidental.
But what makes 1 and 1 be 2 can also be what makes rain from ground, you know?
It could be. The Rambam could have been right. That's what I'm saying. The truth is, the Rambam doesn't think the Rambam is wrong. He just thinks that it's just not what applies. But today, let's say, if I was a minor version of the Ramban, I would say that 1 and 1 is 2, because it has to be 2, because that's logically true. But there's no intrinsic reason why things have to operate one way as opposed to another way, or even that they have to operate in the same way every day. Let's say, in the difference between personal and mechanical. The world, according to the Rambam, is mechanical, but wisdom. The Rambam says, if it's mechanical, then it won't be personal.
I carry on my.
If let's say I was your mother. Okay, and I want to take care of you. So, but I don't have time. So I built a machine that wakes you up in the morning, gives you your clothing, feeds you breakfast, pats you on your head, pushes you out the door, puts you on the bus, and once an hour dials and says, a message from your mother, please brush your teeth. So that would work, right? And I would be very impressed at such a wise and able mother who was able to create such a wonderful system. But those of us who've been brought up in any environment whatsoever, you know, a little bit of chassidus, a little bit of romantic poetry, whatever, would say, oh, but where's the mother? You know, that you get a mechanical love. There's nothing personal there. Ramban wants a personal relationship with God. That requires that God be holding my hand all the time. Ramban doesn't want a personal relationship. He wants a chachma relationship. Chachma isn't personal.
You don't need a personal relationship.
Now, very often we think, let's say if you were a little bit of a hippie or anyone who's not a yekka, you would say that if a personal relationship, you can't do the same thing every day. You understand that feeling, right? You know, there's like the yekka parent, he loves his kid, and every day at exactly 3 o'clock, you have to eat lunch. But the Galiciana, the California parent, because he loves his kids, so he says every day, hey, what should we eat today? What time do you want to eat today? Maybe we'll go to the picnic today. And then you really feel the love of the parent. Every day, there's something exciting with you. Okay? So that's not true. Even according to the Ramban, God doesn't do shtick like that. But he could. There's no particular reason to do it the same every day. Unless he has some other reason. The reason why he does the same every day is what I explained. Because he wants us to have some sort of a reaction. But if he would do more miracles, more unexpected things, one day he came home and out of the blue, your parents said, you're not going to school today. Today we're taking off and we're going to... I'm 40 years out of date. Palisades still exists.
Disneyland.
Thank you. I've heard of that. We're not going to school today. We're going to Disneyland. Now, that's Ramban's God. All of a sudden you feel God's presence. It wasn't there, or your parents' presence. It wasn't there before. And the Ramban would say, that's a parent. Your parent is a parent who says to you, you're going to go to school every single day, and you're not going to miss a single day because that's the right thing to do, and I love you, so I'm going to make sure you do that.
I mean, that explains why the reason why the
mechanical person was a very crucial thing. It's hard to... I'm not sure how the Rambam would even answer the charge, but I think he probably would try, but he wouldn't succeed. The Rambam's God is not... You don't feel the personal aspect of it. Because he's operating behind the screen. He's not even operating behind the screen. He set the screen up and it works. The Ramban's God is super personal. You can't take a step left or right without checking with him and asking him to help you. You have a very personal relationship with God. The difference between a personal relationship, mechanical relationship, is there's no nafkamina. There's no difference in what will happen. The difference is
how you relate to it.
What's its meaning for me? It's extremely different to have a personal relationship with somebody or a mechanical relationship.
Can you say,
there are some Ramim in Yeshiva very personal relationships with the Talmidim, and the other Ramim who have it's not less of a relationship. They give a shir and they're fitting you with chachma. As far as they're concerned, that's better. That's better than patting you in the head and playing basketball with you. I don't know why you're laughing. I really don't know why you're laughing. I just thought of that, you know.
And the Ramban wouldn't need logic to be personal because logic would be mechanical. It doesn't form any personal relationship.
It's a rule. It's a law. It's universal. It's not directed to you. It's directed to all people who act the way you act. It's all people who follow derech hachachma and don't do stupid things have good lives, assuming everything works out well, which it doesn't, but that's where it should be. Yeah. Which Ramban says the same thing. All people who are smart and intelligent and do the right things, don't do wrong things, have good lives. This is according to the Rambam, doing the right thing works in the system. According to the Rambam, doing the right thing means God takes care of you. So what's an afkamina? The word care. The feeling of the care, the personal involvement in God, as opposed to having made a system which automatically rewards me for my good deeds.
Well, also, according to the Ramban, you're essentially doing your mitzvahs to try to kind of escape the peril that will happen if you don't. According to the Ramban...
No, that's not necessarily true.
Well, meaning either way, every single time I take, I make a left turn, it's because our Kaddish Baruch.
Psychologically, but, you might be led to believe that, but of course the Ramban will say at some other point,
how does he say that? Because
not
either way,
every time I take a step,
according to the Ramban, it's still because of Hashem, right? So why would I do a mitzvah? So when I take a step, I don't, you know, trip and break my leg.
No, you shouldn't say that. Admittedly, psychologically, you'll be driven to say it, but you should overcome the psychology. The fact that every time you do something good, you get a candy, doesn't mean you should be doing good things to get the candy, even though every time you do it, you get a candy.
Yes,
you should do it. No one has the halachas. But it is true, and frankly, you know what? It's not true at all. Because the same thing is true according to the Rambam. According to the Rambam, it's a law of nature that says that if you drink in moderation and eat in moderation and help your neighbor, etc., you have a society which will work and be good, and you all get to Olam Haba. That's also Shalal Lishma. You should be doing it because it's the right thing to do, not because it also works. But it is true that virtue pays off, and crime doesn't pay. That's true for both of them.
According to the
There's no difference. It's whether God is feeding you the candies, or he made a system which feeds you the candies. If you're the rat in the maze, the modern ones, don't have a guy there giving the rat a piece of candy every time he gets to the end of the maze. They built it into the maze. That's the Rambam's maze. The Rambam's maze is they just were less talented. They couldn't do that, so they have a research assistant who every time the rat gets to the end, picks him up and says, good rat, and gives him that. The only nafkamina is the word good rat. The sugar is the same piece of sugar. And in both cases, the rat, as opposed to a person like you who is smart, the rat in the end will be doing it only in order to get the sugar. But you will resist that. You'll say, even though God gives me sugar every time I do the right thing, I'm going to do it because it's the right thing, not because God gives me the sugar. That's a mavak. You have to really overcome the psychology which says to become Pavlovian. But if you become Pavlovian, you've messed up. There's no stew between those two things.
What do you think the Rabban holds when you compare it to Eov? Like, what is he? You just talk about the Rabban.
What's the bottom line of Rabban?
Yeah.
Depends on my mood.
What does he do with Noah also?
I'm pretty sure. I don't think it's a contradiction. I just don't remember now how he figured it out. But, I'm too tight to explain it.
What does he do with Noah?
He doesn't mean call. Everything's in the hand of God, but the amount of personal intervention could be lost. In other words, the point is like this. The man has to admit that there's a system. You know, the fact is that it rains in the winter and doesn't rain in the summer in Israel. Now, you know, there are things which seem to follow patterns. Rabban is not opposed to patterns. So the consideration, the difference between Rabban and Rabban Eve is talking about the considerations of God, not the act of God. Even if when the Benoniim, who so to speak in the hands of nature, it's general considerations. In other words, God doesn't weigh you individually and say the best thing for you right now would be to get this, because he's dealing with 10 people at a time, so it's the best thing for all 10 people. The rain is not going to fall only on your house. And you're not at that higher level. It doesn't make that much of a difference whether you do it or not. God pushes you along on the path he's supposed to be pushing you along on. And at the level that you're at, you get enough attention. If you get, you're one student in a class of 30, you get enough attention from what the teacher does for the class of 30. Then there's a special student who God takes him aside for private instruction. That's what he means. But the class of 30 is still getting direct intervention from God. It's just that he's not, figuring out what is exactly the best thing for you because you're not on that level.
That's what he means by Teva and Eov?
That's what I think he means.
Given the fact as opposed to Teva in...
Yeah, right. I don't know if he uses the word, does he use the word Teva and Eov?
I don't know if Teva uses like left to toast and
he
stuff.
He says the left, yeah. He says the left. God doesn't, God doesn't correct you every single step. But that was a choice that God made. God said, given your level, I'm going to let you spend the day in the maze by yourself. That's good for you. That's a personal decision of God. And the maze really exists. That's why I'm pretty sure. That's why I know the Ramban is not speaking metaphysically. He's not saying there is no nature. He's saying God doesn't.
When he leaves you to toast.
The Brit was that you wouldn't be in nature. But the Brit also included that God will guide you. Part of guiding you is
putting you in nature.
Putting you in nature, unless you're a brilliant student.
So really, it is nature.
You need to be tutored every day.
So really, you are nature. You're just a miracle that you were put in nature.
There. Well, you're there because of what you did.
But at that point, it is not a miracle anymore.
It's a miracle that God put you there.
But that's like the Rambam already.
Yeah. Well, no, the Rambam says God. According to the Rambam, God didn't put you there. You put yourself.
I'm saying, but at that point,
you put yourself.
But it's the same relationship as the Rambam. It's the same step removed now. It's I'm a nature which God put me in. I'm in a world.
When we read the Rambam on Hashgacha, we'll be surprised to vote. The Rambam has the same problem in the opposite direction. The Rambam says that tzaddikim have more Hashgacha and Rishayim have less Hashgacha. Even though what I said today is that nobody has any Hashgacha. So the Rambam has the same problem as the Rambam, just he started from the opposite direction and they met more or less in the middle. That's true. Yeah.
What does he do with Noah? What does he do with Noah where it says the Ma'et Tanes because of the Tevar? He says in Parshat Noah, where he's, Noah's building teva, he says that why didn't he just build a tiny teva, or why didn't he build a huge teva?
No. The Banas principle, which he said a few lines before, that God doesn't like doing
big miracles. That should be more of his style, to do the biggest possible miracle so you feel the most possible closeness.
So he says you have to be worthy of it. He has a line. It's like it's disgraceful. What's the word here? He says it's sort of a. It's like it's sneezed, the kind of thing. It's like, you know, throwing pearls before the swine. Where's the line about it? Ubavur ki Hakadosh Baruch Hu lo yaseh ot mufeit b'chol dor leinei kol rasha u kofer. He doesn't explain why, but he hits the language. God is not going to do a big miracle in the eyes of every schnookin idiot called kofer, kol rasha u kofer. It's a bizayon for God to have to do something really big, you know, special, for people who are not going to appreciate it anyhow. So therefore he tells you to put a tefillin. But that's what explains why we need to remember the big miracles. There have to be a few of them, and then we can remember them, and that will give us the key to seeing everything in a miraculous light.
But it seems that God doesn't want big miracles, so he doesn't.
Well, he doesn't want them. He says it's not worth it.
The Ramban says the ma'et etanes, uses that terminology.
Yeah, well, I think it's for this reason. There's a principle of not doing more than is necessary.
Okay.
According to the Rambam,
the truth is more complicated. I said a lot which I never completed. I said, I think this is what I used to think, and it's 80% true. I now know that there is a difference between small miracles and big miracles in the Ramban, but that's the Ramban is the Mekubal, so I'm not allowed to discuss that. Big miracles and small miracles come from the two different spheres. Mm-hmm. So apparently there's a real difference between them, not merely a psychological difference between them. But you didn't hear me say that.
That did.
That's not still running, is it?
Yeah. It's got the red light on.
You could just apologize.
I've seen on television. Strike that from the record. Never said it. If it works in court, it can work as well.
According to the Rambam,
in 1970. City College fell to the protesters 2 years after the other universities fell to the protesters, and they had open admission. And especially because of City College, they had really open admission. Anybody could go to City College. You didn't have to pass anything at all. If you graduated a high school in New York City, you could go to one of these colleges in the city university system.
Yeah, I think my grandma went to City College at that time.
Oh, okay. I'm not. I don't want to imply anything. But they had a problem in grading, you know, because it's one thing to let them in, but you know, how do you let them out? So they invented a new grading system, which was explained to me by a friend of mine who studied with Yeshiva NYU, but then was teaching math in City College. He said he could give five grades: A, B, C, D, A, B, C, D. And I think it was W. So I said, what is W? He said, W means Iglai Milta the Mafeya, you never took the course. I was alumnus, but
okay. According to the Rambam, who thinks that